Well, Vida, as you know, contains three pillars. So, of course, it may be a different answer depending on the pillar. But in any case, I think in general, I would rather say that we are embracing the change rather than really creating a revolution. With e-invoicing, this is clear. We are embracing the fact that many member states are doing it on their own, and we don't want that. We want to have some harmonization there. So we are embracing a change that has been initiated by the member states. On platform, again, I think we are embracing the fact that we have new business models and we try to see what we could do to better address these business models. And on the last one, I would say we're going back to basics. I mean, we have an internal market. There should be no tax obstacle for supplies of goods and services within the internal market. And providing for a single VAT registration is something we should have done a long time ago. So there, I think we're getting back to basic. So rather than a revolution, I think we are embracing the current challenges. Well, then again, we have three completely different pillars. We're talking a lot about e-invoicing. Whenever you talk about VIDA, whether today during the conference, it was a whole day dedicated to e-invoicing, but also in general, when we talk about VIDA, of course, the e-invoicing takes a big importance. So specific challenges for that. Yes, of course, the technical implementation, they are very different models. Companies need to be ready for the changes, different time frame, different timelines across the member states, different obligations. So this is still a challenge. It will still be a challenge for implementation. And then this also begs the question whether it is really going to make the VAT system more fraud-proof or, you know, more efficient, simpler, etc. Then you can, in view of all the burden for the companies, you can still ask yourself whether we have reached the objective of curbing fraud in particular and simplifying the compliance burden. Yeah, well, I find it very interesting that the Commission has asked the VAT expert group to give an opinion or to share ideas for the European VAT system for 2050. Now, 2050, it's actually quite far in time, but not that far at the same time. But I think it's interesting to have this opportunity to look in the future and say, okay, in 2050, the world will be even more digitalized. Everything will go even more rapidly than today. How should VAT work then? And this forces us to go back to the origin of the VAT system. What is it there for? It's there to collect revenue, and the chosen tax base is consumption. And then we should really ask ourselves, is the current model, as we know it, so complex on the B2B part, even before the final stage, which is actually the only one that should be taxed, if you think about what was the purpose of the VAT, taxing consumption. So thinking, are we doing it in the right way? Because in 1960s, maybe that was the best way to do it. Smaller economies, some companies having to collect the VAT, that was the most efficient way to do it. Nowadays, I think we have to admit that it may not be the best way to do it, to collect it throughout the transaction chains, the supply chain, just in order to make sure that we have it in the end. Because we can see that most of the fraud, for example, is definitely in the supply chain. Well, there is, of course, fraud at the retail stage, but the biggest, the most harmful fraud is actually before. So I think it's important that we think about a complete reshuffling of the VAT system, which aims once again at taxing final consumption and at not taxing the businesses. There are other taxes for that, corporate income tax, property tax, whatever. But then I think it would be important to do that before 2050. Well, I'm really positive and I'm really sure, because this is something I've been studying for a long time, we have to change the approach in e-commerce, and in particular on imports from third countries. It's complete nonsense. If you go back to the design of the tax, if I, a Belgian customer, buy something online from someone in China, what do? I will pay him my Belgian VAT, and the Belgian tax authorities hope and cross their fingers that the Chinese company is going to pay back the VAT back to the Belgian tax authorities. I mean, from a design perspective, this is completely counterintuitive. And this is really complex to do that, because then we put all things into place, very complex reporting obligation, exchange of information, what have you, to try to make sure that this Chinese operator, this is just an example coming from India, the US, it doesn't matter, but that this foreign operator on which you have no jurisdiction, you cannot force them to comply, you cannot audit these people. This is extremely difficult. We try to make sure that they will comply, and I think there is a best way to do it, and to make sure that the VAT basically does not leave the country of consumption. So this is, from a design perspective, the approach on e-commerce, in my view, in my opinion, must change, and we have to change the design. Yeah, but that's exactly my point. We should not be dependent on foreign operators, foreign government or foreign suppliers. We should make sure that the money is collected before leaving the country. In a legal way, of course, you have to change the legislation, but to secure our revenue, because in the end it should be back to our country, just make sure in the first place that it does not leave the country. So you can call it split payment, you can call it withdraw, you can put a lot of names on this, but at the end of the day, what should matter is that if I buy something online, I pay the price to my supplier, and the tax that should go to my own tax administration goes directly to my tax administration. And then we can discuss how do we do that. But I think this should be the starting point of the discussion.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.